Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We have just kind of wrapped up the Delaware ratification debate, if you want to call it that. And as I said, you know, it was really that short. And it is really, it just seems like, you know, some real brown nosing, if you know what I mean. But anyway, the show is sponsored by Reclaiming the Republic, actually RepublicReview.org. We've already said RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that goes into the academic evidence. And the academic evidence are these ratification debates. These are the national treasure of, and these will be the jewel of us taking back the Constitution and getting the federal government into compliance. And I say this because when you look at the ratification debates and you look at the authority of the states, and people go, well, hey, you know, the courts and judges and all these politicians and lawyers have all basically stated this is what everything means. That doesn't matter. As Madison pointed out, it is the judges who are the states who are to decide. In other words, they, you know, the court system and all of these people over here with association associated to the Bar Association, well, they may have their own opinion, but the only opinion or the only determination that matters is the states. I want you to understand this. This is why the state legislatures need to understand the role that they have in taking back this republic. It is that beautiful of a deal here. It proves to me, and I hope it proves to you, the divinity and the origins of this Constitution. Only the Lord knew what we would need, and he gave it to us. And sadly, this has been in front of everybody for years and years and years. And why is it that nobody picked up on what Madison and Jefferson did in 1798, or even really look at the Constitution in the aspect of the framers? And I'm telling you, it's because of the ratification debates. Because nobody has, everybody's marginalized it, nobody has actually taken the time to read it. If you want to get into statistics and percentages, if you want to go there, how many people in America, what is the percentile? It is probably down in the millionth, the 100,000th percentile of people that have actually read the ratification debates. And when I say actually read them, you know, actually understood what they were reading, not just glanced over them or played them in the background because of some artificial intelligence voice reading a PDF. Going through them, highlighting them, and then saying, this is what we have to cover. And so one of the things that I hope you take away from this is it is irrefutable. I want to say this so you understand. It is irrefutable that the states and the Constitution has been so well defined and that their powers are so ultimate that Republic Review truly is the only process, which is the audit and the identifying of all unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers usurped by all three branches of the federal government, and basically decimating these roles, responsibilities, and powers through a mirage, or not a mirage, a barrage. Man, I am just tongue-tied today. Forgive me. Especially forgive me if this continues moving forward today. But the barrage of directives. Now, you got to understand that if you look at the Republic Review process, the states create directives that go to Congress to say, you will dismantle, disband, and discard this role, responsibility, and power, this Department of Education. And in so doing, Congress has the role, responsibility, and power to support the Constitution. Here, clearly, the states are saying these are unconstitutional and you will disband this. And if the Congress refuses to support the Constitution, so obviously I'm going to be tongue-tied for the day, so forgive me, And that's just because when I get all excited and when I read the ratification debates, believe it or not, this is when I really get the most passionate and most excited because, you know, I'm giving you the facts. And I hope you get excited. And actually, as a hint, hint, nudge, nudge, I hope that what you're doing is you're highlighting every single one of these so you can download these from our website once we get these things posted so that you can then play these in your car. And go out and get yourself Nero Editor, Nero Wave Editor. It's a free application that allows you to edit. Then you can kind of edit my monologue and, you know, the commercials or promotions, actually, and, you know, the other stuff, and you can actually, you know, it's almost like you have you can create your own audio book of, you know, this file going through the ratification debates. That way you can just go end to end, diving through this and swimming in the national treasures. And like I said, these are our treasures. This is the gem. This is the necessary crystal that drives us at warp speed into taking back our Constitution. Oh, by the way, I'm not sure if you heard, but that's a marketing. This is not a marketing show. This is a show of facts and evidence. So anyway, as we were kind of talking about, we had talked about Delaware, and it really was that short, as I said. And I was trying to put perspective, and I want you to understand that Delaware slam dunked this baby because it was Delaware during the debates. One of the delegates, again, I forget who it was, but during the debates, Delaware, and when I say the debates, I'm talking about the Constitutional Convention when they were debating at the Constitutional Convention. You know, they go, what's your problem? How come you don't want to go, you know, along with this Virginia plan, you know, that everything be done by apportionment of population? Delaware says they don't trust you, big states, and the big states would have more voice and more power over all of the rest of the states, where Virginia, New York, Massachusetts would be the dominators. So when you start looking at, you know, this whole process, this was the birth of, and because Delaware stated that really drove, I think, Roger Sherman to start thinking and pondering on, you know, how can we compromise and how can we get to where we need to be? And I believe that he was inspired by the divine hand of providence to provide a good compromise and by creating a bicameral legislative body. I had been just speaking to somebody on the phone about the importance of bicameral legislation and the concept of American republicanism, that our representation is not just we the people. It is the sub-element of government that is the divider of the body of the whole. So at the national level, the divider of the body of the whole are the states. And at the state level, that is counties. And that's why we have bicameral legislative bodies, even at the state. We've just been ignoring the counties, and we've been ignoring this concept. Anyway, I could start revisiting, and that's a different part of our content when we go through statehood and the enabling acts of Congress in enabling, you know, territories to become states. And so one of the things that we prove to you is that all states become full parties and full principles of the compact, and that the federal government has no ability to control or restrict and or have strings over them, that these states are fully sovereign over all things regarding their state. And so anyway, what I wanted to do in kind of summary is I just wanted to reread this last thing, this last sentence that they put before everybody signed, and then basically this is what they said: do in virtue of the power and authority to us given for that purpose and in behalf of ourselves and our constituents, fully, freely, and entirely approve of, assent to, ratify, and confirm the said Constitution. And then the president, because Delaware at this point of time did not have a governor, they had a president. And so the president's final paragraph, he wanted to state, to all whom these presents shall come, greeting, I, Thomas, Thomas Collins, president of the Delaware State, do hereby certify that the above instrument of writing is a true copy of the original ratification of the federal constitution by the convention of the Delaware State, which original ratification is now in my possession. And so anyway, this is pretty much their ratification debate. Well, where's the debate? That was the whole point, that they were supposed to debate this. And the more vigorous the debate, the better off the country is. This kind of goes down to the whole concept of the importance of vetting when we have our politicians or when we have, you know, contractors coming in and debating what they want to do, how they're going to do this, what this means, what that means. Debating flushes out all questions, especially if it's a good, thorough debate. So the next state, which is another, I'll say, minuscule ratification, it's maybe a couple of pages. This is what the Georgia state ratification debate stated. In convention Wednesday, January the 2nd, 1788, to all whom these presents shall come, greeting. Whereas the form of a constitution for the government of the United States of America was on the 7th day of September, or 17th day, I'm sorry, of 1787, agreed upon and reported to Congress by the deputies of the said United States convened in Philadelphia, which said constitution is written in the words following to wit, and then we'll get into what they basically say, but Georgia doesn't really debate this either, like the rest of the states. That's why we're covering them first. We'll be right back after these two promos. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what we're going to get into is how Georgia identifies kind of the historical process of the fact that they're having these debates on this new constitution, creating a new government. Why is this important and why am I covering this? Because it seems like just administrative or perfunctory, whatever. The reason I'm covering this is because if you haven't been tuning in lately, I've been railing a lot about the debate back and forth between the anti-conventionites and the conventionites, or I should say, you know, the John Birch's argument that the Constitution was a runaway convention and that they have this voluminous amount of names and everybody else that said, hey, we exceeded our commission. We went beyond our authority. And I don't want to rehash all of this. They, following their inalienable right to be able to throw off bad government, what they did was because they saw so many deficiencies within this constitution that they had, and it was protecting, and basically that Articles of Confederation protected and allowed fiefdoms within states to exist at the expense and at the demise of the Union itself. The whole name, Articles of Confederation for the Perpetual Union, was actually a facade, because there's no way a union could perpetuate with the way these fiefdoms were being protected. So now we're going to look at, because the Constitution on the 17th of September was signed and then transmitted to the Continental Congress. Now, back in those days, it wasn't like it was electronically transmitted, faxed, or anything like that. It was a matter of physically carrying it and handing it over to the Continental Congress. And so I want to read the resolution that they're going to reference, and I'll point this out when I get to it. But again, the 17th of September was fundamentally 11 days before Congress's resolution. Friday, I'm going to be tongue-tied all day, so please forgive me. Friday, September 28th, 1787, 11 days after that document was signed and then sent out to Congress. Remember, it didn't go to the states, it went to Congress. And the people who called for this convention were the states. So one would think, well, okay, so the fiefdoms would want to protect themselves so that this document should come back to the states. So they bypassed the states. This is because they clearly understood that the states were not going to go without a fight. Or I should say, those controlling the fiefdom. See, what was Continental Congress? Was Continental Congress a separate entity of a different state or a different nation? No. It was a representation of each of the states. And anybody and everybody that had to deal with or work with and work within Continental Congress knew the problems of the states and how it was problematic as far as this Articles of Confederation. So anyway, this is what the resolution says. Congress assembled, present New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, and from Maryland, Mr. Ross. So in other words, only Mr. Ross was there for Maryland. So they had a good representation and quorum of the 13, right? So that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That had been 12, because Rhode Island, surprise, surprise, wasn't there. Rogue Island at the time, because that's what a lot of people were calling it. And this is what they say. Congress, having received the report of the convention lately assembled in Philadelphia. Now, drum roll, please, because one would think, the way we've all been taught, that the Continental Congress is going to call out this convention as a runaway convention, and they're not going to forward it. But we know they do forward it, so how did they kind of trick everybody to say, hey, here's a runaway convention, and so this is illegitimate, but we're going to forward it out anyway? No, that's not what they say. This is what they say. Resolved unanimously that the said report with the resolutions and letter accompanying the same be transmitted to the several legislatures in order to submit to a convention of delegates chosen in each state by the people thereof in conformity to the resolves of the convention made and provided in that case. And so, wow. It looked like they were blessing this Constitution to move forward. They weren't using disparaging remarks, or they weren't trying to sully the efforts in the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Isn't that interesting? So moving on, Georgia says this. And whereas the United States in Congress assembled did on the 28th day of September 1787 resolve unanimously that the said report of the resolutions and letters accompanying the same being transmitted to the several legislatures in order to submit to a convention of delegates chosen by each state by the people thereof in conformity to the resolves of the convention made and provided in that case. So there's a real a lack of evidence here by the actual Congress at this point to even have a clue or even to have any paradigm or perception that this was a runaway convention. You know, I will warn you, you know, when I have a bone, just like a mean yard dog, I'm not going to give up this bone. And so forgive me if it seems like I'm railing here. I am going to be writing an academic article regarding this because this goes back to Professor Lash's comments regarding the 14th Amendment, that when you look at the commentary of the Congressional Globe and how many people came up and said bad things about the 14th Amendment, you would think that that was a majority. But you cannot go by the negativity. This is why I say, when we look at the ratification debates for legal definitions and terms, you should actually exit or cross out or delete all of the anti-federalist testimony, because what they're saying is not given credence in the final determination. In other words, they reject all of those words by accepting the ratification of the Constitution. Therefore, the only words that matter legally are the Federalists. And this is the same thing with the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment was actually passed by two-thirds of both houses. Regardless of how many people or the same people getting up and how many comments there were that were deriding the 14th Amendment, you got to understand that it was passed. It wasn't like it had to go through a few different votes and changes. I mean, they did make changes along the way, but when they said this was ready to go, because everybody basically kind of agreed for a final vote, it went through just like that. I mean, come on. Anyway, and resolved that a convention be elected on the day of the next general election. This is back to Georgia. And in the same manner as representatives are elected, and that the said convention consists of not more than 3 members of each county. Why are they doing this? Remember I said bicameral legislative? They recognize that the counties were the base elements of the state. They were separate sub-elements and sovereign bodies, and that the said convention should meet at Augusta on the fourth Tuesday in December, then next, and as soon thereafter as convenient, proceed to consider the said report, letter, and resolutions, and to adopt or reject any part or the whole thereof. Know ye that we, the delegates of the people of the state of Georgia in convention, met pursuant to the resolutions of the legislature aforesaid, having taken into serious consideration the said Constitution, having asserted to, ratified, and adopted by these presents, do, in virtue of the powers and authority of us given by the people of the said state, for that purpose, for and in behalf of ourselves and our constituents, fully and entirely assent to ratify and adopt the said Constitution, done in the convention, blah, blah, blah. And then they go through all of the people that were a part of this. Now, I want you to understand that Georgia had a very real reason why they wanted to get on board with this quickly, because remember, I told you that during the Constitutional Convention, it was August 22nd, when Georgia and the Carolinas stepped up and said, look, if you're going to force us to get rid of slavery, we're walking. And that in itself, these 3 states held hostage all of these innocent people that were brought here by the Crown of England. And if you read the Declaration of Independence, you'll understand the history and how this whole thing fell forward. One of the things I think nobody really knows is I believe the first slave owner, I believe, was an African here in America when they started moving away from indentured servitude to slavery. And this was before it was actually, you know, declared that slavery would be, you know, the law of the land. The initial practice of slavery was actually started by an African who migrated here and had indentured servants that he turned into slaves, or they turned into slaves. Anyway, it's nice when you start understanding history as people try to rewrite it and try to create a false narrative. It's nice to understand what the truth really is. So anyway, let's kind of jump into the next ratification debate, which is New Jersey. So now we have a northern state, because Delaware was technically still kind of close to that Mason-Dixon line as a slave state, right? Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos with the state of New Jersey and what their comments are and why they didn't debate it. But we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so that haunting pneumonia. Anyway, now we're in New Jersey, and New Jersey is on the north side of the Mason-Dixon line, definitely, and it also happens to be what I will call a state that had a lot of influence regarding academia and education, because Madison went to, I believe, Princeton, which is in New Jersey, and there were quite a few others that actually attended some of the universities and or higher education. Not everybody could go all the way up to Massachusetts, plus, you know, Harvard and some of those schools. You got to remember, Harvard was created by the Puritans. I mean, these were religious schools. I think Madison had a secondary in theology. Anyway, New Jersey, and you got to remember, New Jersey was the second state to bring forth a plan during the Constitutional Convention, right? I mean, it was the Virginia Plan, then the New Jersey Plan. And both of those plans were rejected, or actually, I think, they were, because if you look, what came out of the Connecticut Compromise was pure genius, and Roger Sherman gets the credit, but I believe he really pointed towards the Lord as the sole inspiration. But anyway, in the convention, and as a matter of fact, this was done December 18th, 1787. So now we've got three states that before January have already ratified the Constitution. And Philadelphia has yet to ratify, as far as I know. I don't think Philadelphia was even close to ratifying the Constitution. And that was just due to the fact that, or not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And that was just because it was such a heated debate. But we will get into that a little bit later. What's really important is giving you New Jersey, not Pennsylvania. Whereas a convention of delegates from the following states, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, met at Philadelphia. So what was the state that wasn't represented? Again, we're talking Rhode Island. So Rhode Island was being very consistent, you know, by not being present in Congress, not being at the convention, and, you know, always refuting and refusing to accept any types of changes. And so, anyway, met at Philadelphia for the purpose of deliberating and forming a constitution for the United States of America, finished their session on the 7th day of September last and reported to Congress the form which they had agreed upon in the words following. And whereas Congress on the 28th day of September last unanimously did resolve that the said report with the resolutions and letter accompanying the same be transmitted to the several legislatures in order to submit to a convention of delegates chosen in each state by the people thereof in conformity to the resolves of the convention made and provided in that case. And whereas the legislature of this state did on the 29th day of October last resolve in the words, quote, resolved unanimously that it be recommended, notice what they're saying here, that the state legislatures resolved unanimously that it be recommended to such of the inhabitants of this state as are entitled to vote for representatives in General Assembly to meet in their respective counties on the fourth Tuesday in November next, and that the several states fixed by law for holding the annual elections to choose three suitable persons to serve as delegates from each county in a state convention for the purpose herein before mentioned, and that the same be conducted agreeably to the mode and conformably with the rules and regulations prescribed for conducting such elections. So in other words, here we now again see three delegates for each county. It wasn't, you know, a delegate for every 10,000 people. They divided the state, and those who were to debate the Constitution were the representatives of the counties of the state. Do you understand this paradigm of how important counties are and were and are within the Constitution? Okay, so resolved unanimously that the person so elected to serve in state convention do assemble and meet together on the second Tuesday in December next at Trenton. Wow, Trenton had some real history, right? I mean, isn't that where Washington went back after he crossed the Delaware? Anyway, in the county of Hunterdon, then and there to take into consideration the aforesaid Constitution and, if approved of by them, finally to ratify the same in behalf and on the part of the state and make report thereof to the United States in Congress assembled in conformity with the resolutions thereto annexed. Quote, resolved that the sheriffs of the respective counties of this state shall be, and they are hereby required to give as timely notice as may be by advertisements to the people of their counties of the time, place, and purpose of holding elections as aforesaid. Wow, did you see what the sheriff's roles were back then? Wasn't giving out traffic tickets. Anyway, and whereas the legislature of this state did also on the first day of November last make and pass the following, quote, an act to authorize the people of this state to meet in convention, deliberate upon, agree to, and ratify the Constitution of the United States, proposed by the late General Convention be it enacted by the Council and Great Assembly of the State, and it is hereby enacted by the authority of the same, that it shall and may be lawful for the people thereof, by their delegates, to meet in convention and deliberate upon, and if approved by them, to ratify the Constitution for the United States, proposed by the General Convention held at Philadelphia, and every act, matter, and clause therein contained conformably to the resolutions of the legislature passed on the 29th day of October. So, I mean, a lot of fluff, and I wanted to read these things, but I'm just going to kind of cut it off right here to close this quote. Much to understand how important it is that we recognize that these states, you know, when you hear people say that the Constitution was ratified by the people, do you understand that it was really ratified by the people who represented the counties? In other words, it wasn't a democracy that ratified the Constitution. It was a Republican form of government, and it was representatives, not the people, that ratified the Constitution. Moving on. Now be it known that we, the delegates of the state of New Jersey, chosen by the people thereof for the Constitution aforesaid, having maturely deliberated on and considered the aforesaid proposed Constitution, do hereby for and on the behalf of the people of the said state of New Jersey, agree to ratify and confirm the same and every part thereof, done in convention. So in other words, they had a lot of perfunctory administrative stuff on the front end to cover the timeline of how it got to them, and then they did this, and then they did that, and now they've ratified, and they do assent to this Constitution and agree in every part thereof. So then they list everybody by county who represented them. So in other words, you know, there's a trend here, and it's very consistent for the ratification debates. Now, when we move into, you know, the real debates, when I say the states that actually vigorously debated, I'm going to tell you that New Jersey actually debated it, but I don't have access to it because those records were not published, or they have been withheld for purposes and reasons. Nobody knows, other than the fact that the documentation history on the ratification of the Constitution at the University of Wisconsin, they actually have all of this stuff. So, you know, my hat's off to that liberal college that kind of is holding and suppressing this public information and charging people for it, because I think it's like $2,300 or something like that to get your hands on it. And so, anyway, I have to basically say that it would be nice if we had the actual debates. I believe that that should be in the public domain so that we could just rip through these things with word searches and so forth and find, you know, all of the golden nuggets that actually support the terms and definitions that have been consistent so far amongst all the states, that this is a enumerated constitution, that the federal government is limited to those enumerated powers, that their jurisdiction cannot exceed or extend beyond those. Because once we have that clarity, then we can actually state that if it is something, you know, regarding life, which is not an enumerated power in the Constitution, the federal government has no jurisdiction in any cases of law and equity because it is not under that Constitution. Therefore, any time that the federal courts have created and extended their jurisdiction beyond the enumerated powers, they have violated the Constitution, period. Okay, so now the next ratification debate. See, we're going through these a couple a day, right? The next one is New Hampshire. And so New Hampshire, they were a little bit later, and actually I think New Hampshire was the ninth state that ratified the Constitution. And this was June 21st, 1788. In convention of the delegates of the people of the state of New Hampshire. Oh, we're at a break. So we'll pick it up at the beginning of New Hampshire, right after these two promos. But, you know, as I look at this, I mean, this is going to be a real quick move through, but the interesting thing is, because this was so much later, and this was post-Massachusetts, they actually had recommendations for amendments. But we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so this is kind of short because they really get to it and then they provide their amendments. In convention of the delegates of the people of the state of New Hampshire, June the 21st, 1788, the convention having impartially discussed and fully considered the Constitution for the United States of America, reported to Congress by the convention of delegates from the United States of America and submitted to us by resolution of the General Court of said state, passed the 14th day of December last, passed and acknowledging and grateful hearts of hearts the goodness of the supreme ruler of the universe. You got to love this stuff, right? You never find this anymore in any of our government documents, but here it is, right here in the state of New Hampshire, the supreme ruler of the universe, in affording the people of the United States. See, this is why we read these things, so that you can actually garner, wow, what a paradigm back in those days. Anyway, back to the supreme ruler of the universe and affording the people of the United States, in the course of his providence, an opportunity deliberately and peaceably, without fraud or surprise, of entering into an explicit and solemn compact with each other by assenting to and ratifying a new constitution in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to themselves and their posterity, do in the name, it's kind of interesting how they included the preamble into this statement, do in the name and behalf of the people of the state of New Hampshire, assent to the ratify and the said Constitution for the United States of America. And as it is the opinion of this convention that certain amendments and alterations in the said Constitution would remove the fears and quiet the apprehensions of the good people of this state and more effectually guard against an undue administration of the federal government, the convention do thereby recommend that the following alterations and provisions be introduced into the said constitution. First, and so it is funny how this is a unanimous cry from all of the states. They all wanted this, that it be explicitly declared that all powers not expressly and particularly delegated by the aforesaid Constitution are reserved to the states to be by them exercised. Secondly, that there be one representative to every 30,000 persons according to the census mentioned in the Constitution until the whole number of representatives amounts to 200. And then they don't have anything beyond that. But I believe that they would have recommended that the representation be moved up to 40,000. Anyway, thirdly, because obviously they saw in the Constitution that it was fixed at 30,000 and not adjustable. And it was only by aggrandizing the federal government's powers to say, you know what, we can go beyond whatever we think is necessary. Anyway, thirdly, that Congress do not exercise the powers vested in them by the fourth section of the first article, but in cases when a state shall neglect or refuse to make the regulations therein mentioned, or shall make regulations subversive to the rights of the people to a free and equal representation in Congress, nor shall Congress in any case make regulations contrary to a free and equal representation. Fourthly, the Congress do not lay taxes, but when the money arises from imposts, excises, and their other resources are insufficient for the public exigencies, nor then until Congress shall have first made a requisition upon the states to assess, levy, and pay their respective proportions of such requisitions agreeably to the census fixed in the state constitution, in such a way and manner as the legislature of the state shall think best, and in such case, if any state shall neglect them, then Congress may assess and levy such states' proportion together with the interest thereon at the rate of the 6 cents per annum from the time of payment prescribed in such requisition. I mean, wow, they're going into some real details of how they want to change the taxation and going after states by charging them interest and so forth. Interesting. Fifthly, that Congress shall erect no company of merchants with exclusive advantages of commerce. Isn't that interesting? Kind of like the Federal Reserve, right? Anyway, and as a matter of fact, you got to remember that these amendments don't mean that these powers were enumerated. They're asking for a stipulation to clarify that even though this isn't enumerated, they wanted these extra restrictions, because there's nowhere in the Constitution that allows the federal government to erect a company of merchants, to erect a company of bankers, to erect a company of, you know, financiers or economy managers like the Federal Reserve. Sixthly, that no person shall be tried for any crime by which he may incur an infamous punishment or the loss of life until he be first indicted by a grand jury, except in such cases as may arise in the government and regulation of the land and naval forces. So in other words, you know, land and naval forces would be operating outside of the United States. You got to understand that the militia was operating within, and even though they may be land forces, that wasn't the, you know, the case of where they could actually punish, because the state still had sovereignty over their land. The federal government and the states were too, and as we go through this when we read the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15, Congress shall have the power to call forth the militia, to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections, and to repel invasions. Well, so, you know, there again, it supports this concept that they're supposed to be repelling invasions. Bottom line, you know, when it comes down to actions within the state, they can only enforce the constitutional laws. They can't be, you know, going after people to actually try them for crimes. So what are the constitutional laws? Well, Jefferson mentioned them, either piracy or treason. That was it. That's the only crimes that they had control over. So anyway, seventhly, all common law cases between citizens of different states shall be commenced in the common law courts of the respective states, and no appeal shall be allowed to the federal court in such cases unless the sum or value of the thing in controversy amount to $3,000. I have a problem when they create these things, when they create these amounts of money, because back in those days, $3,000 was an unseemly amount of money. Eighthly, in civil actions between citizens of different states, every issue of fact arising in actions at common law shall be tried by jury if the parties or either of them request it. So in other words, they wanted to make sure that they had these rights of, rights of trial by jury, but the Bill of Rights actually covers that all trial for crimes and so forth shall be. And so ninthly, Congress shall at no time consent that any person holding an office of trust or profit under the United States shall accept any title of nobility or any other title or office from any king, prince, and or foreign state. Well, interesting, because that actually became a 13th Amendment. And what ended up happening was it got scrubbed because the 13th Amendment, there's evidence out there that the real 13th Amendment, so our 13th Amendment that we have today should be the 14th, and every other amendment should slide down. What happened was that the 13th Amendment actually passed, and the lawyers, when they created the Bar Association, created that emolument and title of nobility. And so these esquires, because that's what you call a lawyer, an esquire, well, then they had to actually wipe this out, and they put it into obscurity, and they did a really good job in doing that, because now we have lawyers as politicians who are holding titles of nobility as well as being a public servant. So this is why I think there was a case where somebody was asked very specifically, would they denounce their bar and actually drop their bar association as serving as a public servant, and the person said, no way, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, 10th, that no standing army shall be kept up in the time of peace unless with the consent of 3/4 of the members of each branch of Congress, or shall soldiers in time of peace be quartered upon private houses without the consent of the owners. 11th, Congress shall make no laws touching religion or to infringe the rights of conscience. 12th, Congress shall never disarm any citizens unless such as are or have been in actual rebellion. And the convention do, and in the name and behalf of the people of this state, enjoin it upon their representatives in Congress at all times until the alterations and provision aforesaid have been considered agreeably to the 5th article of the Constitution, to exert all their influence and use all reasonable and legal methods to obtain a ratification of the aforesaid alterations and provisions in such a manner as provided in the said article, the Article 5, the constitutional amendment process, that the United States in Congress assembled may have due notice and assent of ratification of the said Constitution. So basically they're signing it, and then they go into, you know, who signed and what. But we will be back, because we believe that this is the truth of our Constitution, and it illuminates the authority that the states have. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.